Imagine for a second, a good friend comes to you with an idea, and they don't just hand you a sketch on a napkin, right?
Right, they actually put in the work.
Yeah, exactly. They hand you this meticulously researched, fully fleshed out, 7-day implementation plan for a brand new tech startup.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it has everything: pricing models, deep competitive analysis, the whole technical architecture, the works.
Sounds bulletproof.
It looks absolutely bulletproof. And here's where it gets crazy. You take their beautifully crafted report, feed it into an AI, and watch as it completely destroys the entire plan piece by piece in exactly 20 minutes.
Just 20 minutes. That is brutal.
It's brutal, but that is exactly what happened to the developer behind a new AI startup called Shishwan. So today we are doing a deep dive into this incredibly raw, behind-the-scenes case study.
Yeah, and we're basing this on a really fascinating developer postmortem blog post. It's titled The Spinoff: From Selfie App to Jewelry Content Engine in One Day.
Which is quite the title.
Right. And what's so great about this source is that it moves way past the usual, tech bro conversation about how fast people can write code now.
Oh, absolutely.
We are seeing a real-world masterclass here. It's about identifying what customers actually value, how the cost of trial and error has just plummeted to practically zero, and honestly, why aesthetic taste is becoming the ultimate business mode.
Which is wild to think about in a tech context. But before we can talk about the successful product, we really have to unpack why that original pitch had to die. So the friend's original pitch was cloud try-on for jewelry.
Ah, right, using AR.
Yeah, augmented reality and AI. Basically, let e-commerce customers virtually try on rings and necklaces, and they wanted to target small, independent jewelry merchants, charging them a subscription of 1,980 Chinese yuan per month.
Which is a very specific number.
Very specific. So the developer takes this pitch, feeds it into Claude, and just asks for a stress test. 20 minutes later, Claude spits out three fatal flaws that basically kill the project on the spot.
And the first flaw was just so obvious once you hear it. It was simply looking at the existing competitive landscape. The giant e-commerce platforms in China, so Taobao, JD.com, they already have AR try-on features built natively into their apps.
Right.
And they provide those tools to their sellers for free. I mean, a new startup realistically cannot ask a merchant to pay for a third-party tool when the platform itself gives them a frictionless version for nothing.
It just makes no sense. And then you look at the pricing model itself, which was just completely detached from reality.
Oh, the 1,981.
Yeah. Because Claude instantly cross-referenced that price with the actual target demographic. Those small independent merchants, they only average about 30,000 yuan in annual revenue.
Wow, so that's a huge chunk.
It's nearly 7% of their gross revenue. I mean, okay, let's unpack this. Trying to sell a 1,980 yuan facial recognition tool to a tiny seller, it's like trying to sell a Formula One engine to someone who, just needs a new bicycle tire. It is massive overkill and completely out of budget.
That's a great analogy. And the final blow was regulatory, which the friend totally missed.
Right, the compliance issue.
Yeah, the friend's plan literally claimed zero compliance difficulty. But the AI flagged China's 2025 facial recognition management rules.
Which are no joke.
Exactly. Virtual try-on requires processing a live feed of a user's face. You can't just bounce that biometric data to some random cloud server anymore. You have to manage device-side storage, implement highly explicit consent workflows, and do mandatory security impact assessments.
Which a tiny mom-and-pop shop is absolutely not going to do.
Not a chance. They don't have the legal or technical infrastructure.
So the friend's dream of this AR try-on empire is just dead in the water. But, and I think this is the crucial part, the underlying instinct was actually correct.
The identification of the target audience, you mean?
Exactly. These small merchants, the ones selling $50 to $200 silver bracelets, they have a massive problem. They desperately need visual content.
Because of platforms like Xiaohongshu?
Yes. Xiaohongshu, WeChat. If you want to sell anything there, you need gorgeous imagery. Nobody stops scrolling for a blurry cell phone picture on a messy desk.
And getting those gorgeous images the traditional way is just incredibly prohibitive. I mean, to do a proper shoot, you hire a photographer, which is maybe 800 to 2,000 yuan, then a designer to edit and lay it out. That's another 200 to 800.
It adds up fast.
And then a copywriter for the post, another 100 to 300. So a small merchant is looking at easily 1,100 to 3,100 yuan just for one set of promotional content.
That's ruinous for a small business.
Exactly. They don't need some complex AR try-on tool. They just need good photos without going bankrupt.
So knowing that expensive photography was the real bottleneck, the developer realized they kind of had the solution sitting in their digital backyard.
Right, they'd already built something similar.
Yeah, a consumer app called Elan. It was basically a selfie app. You upload a regular selfie, and it used a Gemini AI pipeline to turn it into a high-end glamour photo.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Right. The developer realized they could just recycle that exact same tech pipeline for B2B, input a product photo instead of a selfie, and output an editorial jewelry suite instead of a personal glamour shot. Same pipeline, different prompts, all done on the same day.
It sounds so simple when you say it like that.
Well, wait, I actually have to push back on that a bit. Because they just swap the input, a human face is very different from, like, a highly reflective silver glass.
It is entirely different.
Right, because an AI trained to make people look good knows where eyes and noses go. How does it know how to style a bracelet without turning it into a weird, melty hallucination?
And that hallucination problem is exactly why the developer had to build this really elegant two-step architecture. Yeah. They didn't just use one prompt.
Okay, how did it work?
Step one is pure analysis. It takes about 7 seconds. They run the raw photo and the seller's text through Gemini Flash. And the AI's job isn't to draw a picture yet. Its job is to extract highly structured data.
Like separating the parts of the jewelry?
Exactly. The material, the gemstone cut, the color, any special effects. It locks down the reality of the object. Then comes step two, generation.
Okay.
They inject that structured data into 6 different specialized templates running in parallel. So the AI isn't guessing anymore. It's following strict instructions on how to light those specific materials.
But generating an image of a ring is one thing. Making someone actually want to buy it is where the magic happens, because the initial AI outputs from those templates, they were technically accurate, but totally lifeless.
Like sterile engineering drawings, right?
Exactly. They had technical labels and stark backgrounds. Nobody posts a spec sheet on Xiaohongshu to drive an impulse purchase. So the developer had an aha moment and pivoted to an editorial aesthetic.
They had to teach the AI to be an art director.
Yes. They created this constellation template where the gems are visually extracted and arranged like museum specimens on a deep charcoal background.
That sounds beautiful.
And a color DNA template where watercolor swatches bleed out onto natural linen. And here's where it gets really interesting. Every AI company out there, competitors like WeShop or Huihua, they can generate a basic model wearing a product photo.
That's just table stakes now.
Right. But this developer made a $50 silver bracelet look like it belongs in an editorial spread in Vogue jewelry.
And that highlights a massive lesson here.
Right.
In the AI era, the purely technological mode is just evaporating fast.
Yeah.
Everyone has the same foundation models.
So what's the actual advantage?
The real note is prompt engineering paired with deep aesthetic direction. Things like programming material-specific lighting into the templates, or the accumulated crafts of just knowing how to make something look expensive. That's what separates commoditized AI from a premium B2B product.
And by focusing so heavily on how things looked and felt, they actually stumbled onto a completely unplanned, highly lucrative secondary market.
Oh, the raw stones.
Yes. The raw stone design proposal. Merchants constantly get loose gemstones, like raw sapphires or rough jade. But traditionally, to visualize a final piece for a buyer, they have to pay 1,500 to 5,500 yuan.
Because they have to hire an appraiser, a satch designer, and then a CAD designer for a 3D render.
Exactly. It's a huge hassle. Shituan completely automated this entire package for 299 yuan.
That is a massive cost saving.
It is. But there's a fascinating detail here. When they first ran this, the AI naturally output these photorealistic 3D CAD renders. But the developer rejected them.
Wait, really? Why reject the perfect 3D render?
They said they looked too generic. So they actually programmed the AI to generate a hand-drawn watercolor and pencil sketch on textured paper instead.
Oh, that's clever.
They even made it invent a cursive designer signature, Sing Fangia, and stamp a red seal on the bottom. But I have to ask, why do we need the AI to pretend to be human for us to trust the design? It feels like, you know, adding artificial record crackle to a digital audio file just to make it sound warm.
It absolutely is like that. It's all about matching the psychological expectations of the buyer.
Because luxury buyers want that human touch.
Exactly. Real high-end jewelry designers present their proposals with physical sketches. By mimicking those specific human artifacts, the AI bridges the gap between cold computation and the warmth of luxury craftsmanship. It makes the buyer feel like an artist labored over their specific stone.
That is brilliant. And all of this, the pivot, the templates, the fake signatures, was accomplished in an impossibly short time frame.
Just 13 hours.
13 hours? How do you even do that? By making ruthlessly practical, technical decisions, I assume.
Yeah, let's break down that sprint. Hours 1 and 2 were just killing the old idea with Claude. Hours 3 through 10, that's when they built the pipeline, the 6 templates in the front end.
That's incredibly fast.
Right. Then hours 11 and 12, they discovered and built the raw stone feature. And hour 13 was set aside for A-B testing the AI models, specifically Gemini Flash versus Gemini Pro.
Now wait. If you are building a highly visual, aesthetic-driven product, shouldn't you just use the absolute best AI model available? Like, why even test it? Just use Pro.
You'd think so. And Gemini Pro was objectively better at image quality. It scored an 8.4 out of 10.
Yeah.
It completely nailed complex details, like the specific mechanics of a tube clasp on an Akoya Pearl bracelet.
Okay, so use Pro.
But Flash scored around a 6 out of 10. However, Flash was over 5 times faster. It did the job in 6.7 seconds compared to Pro's 37.4 seconds.
Oh, wow. Almost 40 seconds is a long time to stare at a loading screen.
Exactly. For an MVP, a minimum viable product speed and user experience win out. That 6.7 second turnaround feels like magic to a user. Pro was deliberately saved for a future premium upgrade.
That makes total sense.
Oh, and during this phase, they discovered a massive hidden feature.
What was it?
The AI could detect contradictions. If a seller's text claimed it was a natural sapphire, but the AI analyzed the photo and saw visual markers of a synthetic stone, it would flag it.
Without even being explicitly programmed to detect fraud, it just naturally reasoned through the multimodal data.
That is incredible. Okay, so you've built this product in one day using leftover code and cheap API calls.
Yeah.
Now, how do you charge for it without underselling yourself?
This is the best part. The developer anchored the price entirely on replacement value, not the cost of running the AI.
Right, because API calls are just fractions of a penny.
Exactly. Instead of marking up pennies, Shishuan charges 99 yuan per content set, or they offer a monthly sub, and they charge 299 yuan for that raw stone design.
Because even at 299, it replaces thousands of yuan in human labor. The merchant is thrilled, and the developer gets massive profit margin.
It's a win-win.
So to you listening right now, what does this all mean for you? If you are a freelancer, a consultant, or, you know, building your own side hustle, are you pricing your work based on how many hours it takes you? Or are you pricing it based on the massive headache and expense you are saving your client? What's really fascinating here is that AI has essentially driven the cost of trying to zero. One person validated a B2B product in a single day for a trivial amount of server costs. The traditional barrier to entry is just completely gone.
It's a totally new landscape. So let's recap this journey. We went from a 20-minute reality check that thankfully killed a bad AR idea to repurposing a selfie app into a high-end jewelry engine.
Yep, a total pivot.
And we saw that realizing the importance of an editorial aesthetic and pricing based on value are really the keys to a successful B2B tool today.
Absolutely.
But I want to leave you with a final lingering question to ponder. In this deep dive, we saw that the real competitive advantage wasn't the AI itself, but the human developer's taste.
Right, knowing that a watercolor sketch with a fake signature sells better than a perfect 3D render.
Exactly. But as these AI models ingest more and more data on human psychology and track exact conversion rates, what happens when taste itself becomes programmable?
Oh, that's a wild thought.
Right. Will there be a day soon when the AI doesn't just mimic a human watercolor sketch, but invents an entirely new, deeply psychological way to sell to us that humans never even thought of? Something we literally can't resist.
I mean, it's definitely coming.
Definitely something to think about. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you, and we'll catch you next time.